Blog Talk Radio.
Cut the music up. A little louder. Yeah. You had a lot of crooks try to steal your heart. Never really had luck. Couldn't ever figure out how to love. Didn't last forever. Now you in a corner trying to put it together. How to love. How to love. For a second you were here. Now you over that part.
Arena Football Nation, welcome to the midseason of the 25th season of Arena Football. I'm Evan Vlad. I'm joining you on Arena Football Friday Radio on Blog Talk Radio, straight from the AFL League office. And we also have a guest joining us, co-host BJ Picard. BJ, how are you doing today?
Doing tremendous, Evan. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's a bit different with you not being in the studio with me today. BJ was unable to come into the studio because of the NATO summit being in Chicago. How's Kenosha treating you?
It's crazy being barred from Chicago, basically.
A lot of people are going to be dealing with some incidents here in Chicago. It is getting a bit crazy out here. Luckily, the league office is just far enough away from downtown where it's not really affecting us here. So we are in week 11. Of the 2012 AFL season, like we said, the midseason. BJ, I know this week you're working on putting midseason reports out. Tell me about a few of the surprises going into week 11.
Well, I think we're just starting to get a clearer picture of where teams are sitting, who's for real, who's going to be real contenders in the playoff race, and who needs to step their game up to stay alive. I think tonight's matchup on NFL Network is really going to show us something. I think both teams have a lot to prove tonight, and I think it's going to be a real good game.
We have a great game on our hands tonight on NFL Network for Net 10 Arena Football Friday. The Orlando Predators will be traveling to New Orleans to face the Predators' old head coach in Pat O'Hara, a subject we'll touch on more in a bit, but you know, what do you think's going through Pat's head going through this game? How badly does he want this win?
Well, I think he wants it as badly as any other win, but it's the first time he's faced the team he used to coach. He quarterbacked both the Tampa Bay Storm and the Orlando Predators back in the day, but this is the first time he's facing the Orlando Predators, a team that he coached the last 2 years. So you can say it's just another game for him, but I don't think it is. I think he definitely wants this one, and New Orleans needs it, as does Orlando. So when two teams are in a must-win situation, that generally makes for a pretty good football game.
And last season, the Orlando Predators decided not to bring back Coach O'Hara after the team made the playoffs. Now they're sitting at 1-7. So you got to wonder if Orlando is questioning that decision. And now he's with New Orleans, and this team, they have a lot more upside than they did last year, sitting now at 3-5 in the South Division. And, you know, these divisions are sitting close at the midpoint. In the American Conference East Division, we have Philadelphia at number 1 at 7-2, followed by the Cleveland Gladiators at 5-3. The South Division, the Georgia Force and the Tampa Bay Storm are all tied up at 5-4, and that's quite interesting. I wasn't sure if I was expecting big things out of Tampa this year, and they're surprising me.
Well, they are surprising, and they have a good receiving core there that I think has really helped Stephen Wassel out, who's in his first year of really being the starter. He started a few games last year, but this year he's been the man from the beginning. And I think you've seen some progression so far.
And then over in the National Conference, we have an even tighter race. We have the Chicago Rush, San Antonio Talons, Arizona Rattlers, and the Utah Blaze sitting in at 6-3. And the leader of that National Conference is the San Jose SaberCats sitting in at 7-2. And the SaberCats came atop in first place in both of our polls this week, the AFL Week 11 Power Rankings and the AFL Coaches Poll. BJ, I know, like we said, week in and week out, we came out with the Power Rankings, and this week at the midseason mark, they're quite interesting. However, most of these teams now are looking similar as far as the Coaches Poll. 1, 2, 3, you have San Jose, Philadelphia, Arizona. In the Coaches Poll, you have 1, 2, 3, Philadelphia, San Jose, and Arizona. Aside from the flop in the Power Rankings, you have the San Antonio Talons in at number 4. BJ, does that seem about right now that these Coaches Polls and the Power Rankings are somewhat evening out and now showing us something similar?
I mean, I think it's a good thing. As the season progresses, I think you want to see some consistency in both polls because, you know, like we say every week, the Power Rankings dictate where you actually stand, and the Coaches Poll is where coaches' opinions take place. And the fact that they're starting to show some similarities, I think, is a real good thing. The thing to remember with the Power Rankings is one thing that it takes into account is strength of schedule. So as we move forward, that's going to be something that's really important to the Power Rankings because you look at a division like the American Conference South, where all those teams are still really in the hunt. As they win or as they lose, that's going to affect the Power Rankings because strength of schedule is such a big part of that.
And you check out the San Jose SaberCats schedule coming up. They just played the Utah Blaze this past week, and they won 70-59. Then they got a hard one. They played San Antonio tonight, and San Antonio has 3 wins in a row, and it should be an interesting matchup with Mark Reed facing off against Aaron Garcia. And then after that, you got to look out for Arizona as well. I mean, you got such a hard schedule for these San Jose SaberCats, and they seem to come out and prevail.
Yeah, I think, and you can say that for anybody in the West Division especially. I mean, that's one of the most competitive divisions we have this year. Arizona and Utah breathing right down their necks. But San Jose and San Antonio, that's going to be a big game this weekend with Mark Reeve and Aaron Garcia, you know, maybe even for the last time. Unless they meet the playoffs or if they come back next year. But we could be watching some history this weekend.
And it should be an interesting one. I know I will be tuned into that matchup. And Spokane actually entered the poll this week at number 10. Does Andy Olson, the young 29-year-old, does he finally have this team squared and under control sitting at 4-4?
Well, I mean, they are in that West Division with San Jose and Arizona and Utah, and they're going to have their work cut out for them the second half of the year, but they're still in it. And they are firing on all cylinders now, especially you got a guy like Terrence Sanders, who's just unbelievable play last week. 2 kickoff returns for touchdowns, 2 interceptions in the game, 1 that set up the game winner in overtime. And he earned Riddell Defensive Player of the Week. He earned the National Guard MVP vote here in JLS Ironman of the week, and all well-deserved honors because he's just playing unbelievable football right now.
And there's no way after his performance last week that he shouldn't have left without any hardware because it was astonishing. His performance, 2 kick returns for touchdowns, and then he got those 2 interceptions. And we also had Sean Kalamoku. Am I saying that right? Kalamoku at Utah.
Sean Kalamoku had another unbelievable performance. I think it's just his second game with the team, but Tommy Grady's developing quite a rapport with him already. Just the 3rd receiver this season to total more than 200 receiving yards in a game. Unbelievable performance. Unfortunately for the Blaze, they didn't come out on top against the SaberCats, and that might have hurt him in the MVP vote. But still a tremendous performance from Kalamoku.
and he hauled in 13 balls for 211 yards and 5 touchdowns in just his second game, in 2 games. And that's quite a feat. Obviously, we had Sanders coming in as the Rydell Defensive Player of the Week and the JLS Ironman of the Week, as well as the National Guard MVP for Week 10. We also saw a great catch, and we were actually at the game, the NFL Network game, Andre Thurman of the Milwaukee Mustangs, who came away with a big score, and he was awarded the Cutter's Catch of the Week for that catch. And, you know, it's hard to outperform some of the catches that we saw the past 2 weeks and some of the plays we saw the past couple weeks. One that I will not forget for a long time, and being in that arena was pretty incredible, was Kelvin Rogers' kick return for a touchdown, which gave him the Spalding highlight of the week. And it was one of the best returns I have seen in my life. I thought this guy was down 3 or 4 times. There was no way he'd get out of this. And he spun around everything, went every which way around the field, and ended up in the end zone for a score. It was a great return.
Yeah, and Kelvin Rogers has been a great addition for that Milwaukee team. That kick return in particular was pretty incredible with the spin moves and the jukes and all the missed tackles that he made. And he's actually returned a kickoff for a touchdown in each of the last 3 games. So we had a poll up on arenafootball.com this week, which is more impressive, Terrence Sanders returning 2 kicks for scores in 1 game, or Kelvin Rogers returning 3 kicks for touchdowns in 3 consecutive weeks here. And both are incredible feats, and it's been fun to watch.
And it's great. And, you know, that team, they're young. They have a big matchup tonight. So we'll see how Milwaukee fares out. And we announced last week, it caused a lot of noise when we're counting down the top 25 players. Number 16 was Kurt Warner. A lot of people questioning that decision, debating that decision. Was it what he did on the field? Was it what he did off the field? And one of the big questions I got from Jason Cole of Yahoo.com was, who came in before him? Well, number 15, Dwayne Dixon, is one of those guys that came in before him. And the AFL Dictionary, BJ Picard, tell me a little bit about why Dwayne Dixon is the number 15th player in AFL history.
I mean, Dwayne Dixon was an incredible player. He was an AFL original. Played wide receiver and linebacker from 1987 to 1991. The 1987 season was the first year of arena football, and he played with the Washington Commandos. In a game that year, he actually recorded 20 receptions in a single game, and that was a record then, and it's still a league record. So, I mean, it's incredible to think that there was a record that has lasted 25 seasons. Now, last week, we actually almost saw somebody break it. P.J. Barry had 19 catches in the Pittsburgh game last week, but Dwayne Dixon's record of 20 receptions in a single game still stands. That was in 1987 that he set that. The following year, he joined the Detroit Drive and was a key member of that first arena football dynasty team, the Detroit Drive that won 3 championships in a row, led the league in receptions and receiving yards in 1988, was all arena in 1987 and 1988, played until 1991 with the Drive, helped him get to 4 consecutive championships. Retired in 91, and then turned to coaching. And he was actually one of your boys, Evan, coaching at wow. UF, University of Florida.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Sat down over there. So, you know.
Yeah. He was very successful there, too. 6 SEC championships, 1 national championship in 96, and was a member of the inaugural AFL Hall of Fame class in 1998. So, very well-deserved honor. Whether he deserves it more than Kurt Warner, well, let us know. But certainly one of the all-time greats.
And congratulations to Dwayne Dixon on coming in on the list at number 15. What do you think about this? Give us a call at 347-324-3225. That's 347-324-3225. And P.J. Barry obviously coming away with 19 receptions. 19 receptions. We're going to have somebody on shortly, Domarico, who covers the Pittsburgh Power, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about the season the Power are having and a bit about P.J. Barry's performance. And like we said, what a performance that was with 19 receptions. We also opened this a big week. We opened up Net 10 Dream Team. B.J., who do you got? Who? What girl has your vote?
I think that might get me in trouble at home if I tell you, but we've got some quality Dream Team contestants for you, and if you haven't gone on and voted yet, go to arenafootball.com/Dream Team and check it out. Check out their Facebook pages. We've got plenty of quality contestants for you to evaluate and vote on.
We actually have a couple of callers. It looks like we have one out of Pittsburgh. Go ahead and take the first one.
Hey, actually, it's Domarico. I was trying to figure out how you call in here to talk to you guys.
Well, you are on now. Dom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. What's up with you guys today?
Another day in the AFL League office. Getting ready for the big broadcast today.
This means you're living large, right?
Living large. So tell me about, we were just obviously talking a little bit about P.J. Barry and the Pittsburgh Power's performance. First off, tell me about P.J. Barry and has he given Power fans what they wanted to see out in Pittsburgh?
Well, it's funny that you guys were talking about Dwayne Dixon just right before you brought up P.J. Barry. Because as you know, Barry had 19 catches last week against San Antonio, one shy of breaking Dwayne Dixon's 25-year-old record. He's been an electrifying player. I know the fans talk about him a lot on Facebook. He's definitely an electrifying player. He's all-purpose leader in terms of yardage in the league. They call him Superman. They get the chance going. I heard he was signing autographs with fans right before fielding kickoffs in a few games this year. So the fans are interacting with him well. He's been a welcome addition to the Power. I know it hasn't translated to victories on the field as much as some Power fans might like, but Barry's definitely the best player on this team.
Have you guys found a quarterback yet out there in Pittsburgh?
I think we have, actually. This Brian Randall kid, I was just checking the stats on this a few hours ago. He is, leading the league in completion percentage, up around 69%. He's got the ninth-best quarterback rating in the league. He's thrown for over 300 yards in both of his starts. He set a Power franchise record, 387 yards last week, 7 touchdowns against San Antonio. In my opinion, other than the 2 fumbles in that game, which were him just being a little bit aggressive, I thought he outplayed arena legend Aaron Garcia in this one. I do think Pittsburgh, if Randall continues to progress, he might be the guy of the future here.
And have you guys – go ahead, BJ.
I tend to agree with you there. I think Randall's the real deal. He's developed really nicely in these first 3 games. Debuted with a 300-passing-yard game. No Power quarterback has ever done that. And I'll tell you what, he's my fantasy quarterback this week, so I'm hoping he plays well.
I think the main thing is he's just got to learn not to be as aggressive again. He's got to protect the ball. But that's not just a Randall problem this year. It's been Pittsburgh's problem overall. They're minus 15 in turnover margin on the season. They are dead last in the league. And it's a main reason why this team's sitting at 2-7 heading into this matchup against Kansas City. If they protect the ball in a couple of these games, they could easily be 5-4 at this point, maybe even a little bit better than that. It's been frustrating for Power fans, but I think a lot of the problems are self-inflicted. And if Pittsburgh turns it around, crazier things have happened. Obviously, we saw the 31-point comeback against Orlando a few weeks ago. Maybe they turn around from a 2-7 start and somehow make the playoffs.
No, and it should be great. So the feeling of that team out there in Pittsburgh, in the locker room, the atmosphere of Power fans, are they still actually in this, playing the same division as the Philadelphia Soul?
Well, they're not going to win the division. I think that much is clear. I mean, Philly, if they somehow lost this division right now, that would be one of the biggest falls from grace in league history. I mean, Philly definitely has the most talent on the board. But the wild card slots in this division and in this conference are easily in play. Pittsburgh's only three games out of a wild card right now. I know some of the fans have turned on the team on Facebook. There are still the diehards that are believing in this team. I know that the locker room has everybody's back. I mean, every press conference that we've gone to after the games, the players are very upbeat. They're a little bit surprised at how this is happening. A lot of them touch on the fact that it is self-inflicted, and they think if they can cut down those problems, and they're going to be in all these games. If you look at these games, other than I think Milwaukee really took it to them when Andrico Hines got hurt early in that game. And of course, Philly Pittsburgh was staying toe-to-toe with the Soul in that first game until a couple stops on defense, and then Philly kept scoring and made the score look a little worse than it was. But Pittsburgh's been in just about every game this year, so there's a lot of reason for optimism.
And there should be out there. I mean, you guys do have talent on that squad. So we'll see, Tom. We appreciate you joining us today. Good luck to you the rest of the season. And good luck to those Pittsburgh Power and the Pittsburgh Power fans out there.
Hey, thanks for having me on today, guys.
No problem. Appreciate it. Got a great caller there in Dom, huh?
Definitely. It's good to have people call in. So if you have something you want to talk about, you want our opinions on something, give us a call.
Hey, for those of you that are listening, you'll get a little insider information right now. Something that hasn't been released to the public yet. We are announcing the AFL Hall of Fame Advisory Board in the next 40 minutes on ArenaFootball.com. So we are going to indeed induct a class for 2012. The class will actually and officially be announced August 10th at the Arena Bowl in New Orleans. So in order to be nominated for the 2012 AFL Hall of Fame class, candidates must meet four criteria. If a candidate was active before 1989, he must have played for two seasons. For players after 1989, three seasons of service are required. All players must be retired for three complete seasons, and coaches must have been active or be active for a minimum of five seasons. And coaches can still be active in the AFL. So we're looking at guys from 2008 and beyond. So last year was guys, the cutoff was the last season they played was 2007. Now the last season cutoff is 2008. So there's a lot of names that are going to be coming up in this one, and it's going to be interesting how the Silver Anniversary the Hall of Fame Advisory Board nominates for these players. And the list will be broken down to 10, and we're going to be giving fans an opportunity to vote, and we're excited to get that process kicked off. Again, we're going to be announcing the list of Hall of Fame Advisory Board members in the next 40 minutes only on ArenaFootball.com, so make sure you stay tuned. Run down the games. We have tonight the Georgia Force at 4-4 facing off against the Milwaukee Mustangs sitting in at 3-5. BJ, what do you like about this matchup? Obviously, I know you are very keen on Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, I like Milwaukee. I think they got a lot of talent, but they need to put it together on the field. They need some complete games here. We thought they had it against Philadelphia. When they beat them by one, we thought they had a grip on the close games, closing out on all four quarters. But, you know, last week against Cleveland, things kind of fell apart. So, you know, they'll be looking to bounce back against Georgia. That's a big conference game. They'll perhaps be seeing R.J. Archer again, who quarterbacked the team last year. One key note that you'll want to take note of for Georgia is Tracy Belton, who leads the league in interceptions. Was placed on injured reserve this week. So that bodes well for Milwaukee's pass game. Not a good thing for Georgia.
And R.J. Archer actually last week missing the game. Kevin Eakin filled in, and a bunch of us know that Archer participated in minicamp for the Detroit Lions, and the Lions really liked what they saw. He actually outperformed Kellen Moore, which is great.
Yeah, and I mean, Archer has the experience of playing in the NFL before. He was in training camp with the Minnesota Vikings, and I think that helps out. Anytime you get that experience is so huge And that's one of the reasons why I think no matter what happens with Nick Hill, whether he stays with the Packers, whether he goes somewhere else, that experience of going to an NFL camp and getting that coaching is so good for a player.
And then we have the NFL Network matchup. We have the Orlando Predators at the New Orleans Voodoo tonight. Like we said, Pat O'Hara's team, the Predators, lead this series 7-3. Both teams coming off 2 straight losses, and you got to look at the coaching matchup. You got Brett Muncy versus Pat O'Hara.
Yeah, definitely. And like we said at the beginning of the show, this is one that P.O. probably wants pretty badly. But it's one that New Orleans needs pretty badly, and as does Orlando. You know, they're still technically alive in the division, but you know, they could still make a push for that wild card, believe it or not, even at 1-7, if they put it together here in the second half.
And it's a new era in Orlando. My boy, Chris Leak, coming out tonight for the Orlando Predators. How do you think he'll perform?
Well, he won a national championship, so he's obviously got football skills. But I think, you know, Orlando gave up a lot to get him. They really wanted him in Orlando, and they're going to give him every opportunity to succeed. With that receiving core there, that veteran receiving core with T.T. Tolliver, Bobby Scipio, Wayne Eli, they have some talent there. So I anticipate Orlando putting on a good fight because that defense is number 2 in the league in scoring. You know, so they are a lot better than their record indicates. They haven't been able to put it together for 4 quarters.
And we'll take a call real quick. Thanks for calling Arena Football Friday Radio. How you doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Who are we talking to over here?
I'm calling from Pittsburgh. I'm actually a Ohio University student, and you know, I'm just. Just want to touch on the Dwayne Dixon being named 15th best of all time. I think it's great. You know, I get to cover the football team, and he's truly one of the best people I get to interact with on a weekly basis. The players love him. He works his guys to the core, and you know, I think it's well deserved that he's placed where he's at on this list.
And I agree. Now, Dixon coming in ahead of Warner. What do you think about that?
Considering where he was at in the time of Arena Football being in this, you know, second league, and then being a part of one of the earliest dynasties that came in, I think it's well deserved. You know, of course, you know, Warner's story is a little better getting to go to the NFL and, you know, winning a couple Super Bowls, but you know, I think, you know, where you guys have him placed is pretty fair considering he was one of the original legends of this league.
And a lot of people will be
definitely,
hey, appreciate the call.
All right, thanks guys.
Thank you. Go ahead and move on quickly through the rest of the matchups. We have the Iowa Barnstormers at 1-3 facing off against the Jacksonville Sharks. And we'll see how this matchup pans out. What do you think?
Well, it's tough to say because Jacksonville and Iowa have only matched up once in history, and that actually was a game last year when Jacksonville defeated the Barnstormers 79-27. So it was a huge blowout. Jacksonville sent franchise records for points scored, margin of victory, interceptions. They had 6 in the game. I would anticipate Iowa showing up for this game, you know, because they want to stay alive in that Central Division too. Jacksonville needs to win to stay alive in the South. There's nobody out of it at this point. So we should see a fairly good football matchup tonight.
Correction, the Iowa Barnstormers are sitting in at 4-5 as the Jacksonville Sharks are sitting in at 3-5. We also have tonight the Kansas City Command at the Pittsburgh Power. Touch on that. The Kansas City Command are still looking for their first win of the season, sitting in at 0-8. We have the Tampa Bay Storm facing off against the Cleveland Gladiators, and the matchup at that one I want to look at is PR guys Jim Robinson facing off against our boy, Phil Tazar, out there in Cleveland. So give the PR guys some love. We have, on the other side of the conference, we have the 7-2 Philadelphia Soul facing off against the Spokane Shock, sitting in at 4-4. That matchup will be tonight. It's a late one, 11 p.m. Eastern time. The Arizona Rattlers, sitting in at 6-3, will face off against the Utah Blaze at 6-3. And this will be one of the games of the weekend that everybody needs to keep their eyes in. It will be Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And the final game of our plate for Week 11, the midseason point, is the San Jose SaberCats at 7-2 against the San Antonio Talons. This one will be exciting. Fans, thanks for joining us today on another episode of Arena Football Friday Radio. We'll see you next week.
Cut the music up. Let it out. Yeah. You had a lot of crooks try to steal your heart. Never really had luck. Couldn't ever figure out how to love. Didn't last forever. Now you in a corner trying to put it together. How to love. How to love. For a second you were here. Now you over there. Oh, not to stare. The way you're moving your body like you never had a love. Never had a love.